Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM and 98.5 FM proudly presents Northeast South Dakota's leader in sports talk and sports coverage. Co-hosts David Tewksbury and Matt McClure have you covered on all things area sports. They'll talk with local coaches.
We have it so good, and I hope that Wolves Country knows just how big a difference they make, because they turned the Pentagon into Walks Arena. There's absolutely nothing like you, and so thank you doesn't seem like enough, but it's all I got today.
We said after the win last week, we set a new standard for how we play at Northern State, and we will never go back. And they responded. Our guys responded today. What a performance.
They'll sit down with local student athletes.
I've always said Coach Schmidt and Coach Glasgow took a big chance on me out of high school. You know, I was only 170 pounds. Showed up, I had blonde hair, dangly earrings, a lot of jewelry, and I was 17 when I first got up here for the first couple weeks. I was super nervous, and now with a year under my belt, a spring under my belt, everything's just slowed down. I'm seeing the ball, I'm seeing the receivers, everything slowed down. I'm really grateful. The coaches took a chance on me.
We're a great team too.
Like, we can beat anybody. We haven't been scared in the past, but I don't know. We can beat anybody. Like, we can show up on any day and beat anybody in the SIC. That's what we learned today.
Plus, they'll visit with local media members and talk all things sports in South Dakota and the region.
Dude, you have no idea what you're talking about right now.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Take a look in the mirror, pal.
Let's go!
A good Monday morning to you and yours. Welcome on in. This is the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. Live streaming with the video as well on our Facebook page, facebook.com/FoxSportsAberdeen. Smash that like button, share the stream, helps out with this very nebulous algorithm, and you just never know how much that indeed actually helps the algorithm. I will give you a perfect example of said algorithm. I was, I don't want to say doom scrolling, but I was scrolling on social media one day, and I saw something that had a whole lot of traction behind it. A lot of likes, a lot of shares. And I said to myself, huh, that's interesting. I'll go ahead and reach out to that person, see if we can get him on the Sports Hub. We did. It's about a month and a half or so ago. Probably about a month ago now that I think about it, and it was a very, very fun and interesting conversation. Smash that like button, helps share the word about these student-athletes, these schools, these programs, what have you, and it just does wonders for the community. My name is David Tewksbury. Thanks again for joining us on this Monday installment of the show. Coming up towards the bottom of the hour, new USD women's basketball commit Ashlyn Carlo Blunt. She'll be joining us towards the bottom of the hour. Of course, plays her high school ball out west there at Mapialuta, formerly Red Cloud. Looking forward to that discussion there with her. And then coming up here in about a quarter past the hour, Brown County Fair, Freudian slip. He'll be out there at the fair coming up in a couple weeks, as will I. But Brown County Speedway voice Rusty Rocket, he'll be joining us here. Quarter past the hour to recap this last weekend that was out at Brown County Speedway, kind of a twofer there on Friday night and Saturday night with Brown County Speedway racing with the dirt late models there in town, in particular on Friday night, plus the Tri-State Late Model Special there on Saturday as well. As we're getting closer and closer to the tail end of the season there for Brown County Speedway, I believe it's August the 22nd, if memory serves correctly, for the final championship, as it were, Brown County Speedway schedule. I want to say it's either the 22nd or the 29th. I got to double check on this one really, really quick like here. Let's see. Yeah, the season championship is coming up on the 22nd. The Agtegra Big Buck Nationals, that's always a classic, always a favorite, always a fan favorite there on August the 29th. But season championship coming up here in less than a month. So looking forward to that discussion with Rusty Rocket here in the next 10 minutes. Again, it's a daily sports talk show, Monday through Friday between 10 a.m. and 11 a.m. right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. I'm David Tewksbury. No Cobra here today. He'll be back in studio with us on Tuesday. Let's go ahead and get to the jump here on FSA. Also, speaking of Tuesday, looking forward to the state tournament on the Legion side of things. It's the Class A region tournament, as the Aberdeen Smitties, of course, they got bounced on Thursday against Brandon Valley, and the full rundown of that schedule for tomorrow can be found on our website, hubcityradio.com. And that gets underway tomorrow, and we'll have one of the voices of that tournament Brent Nathaniel. Very much a friend of the program. He'll be joining us tomorrow right around 10:30 right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 and 98.5. But also, my friends, we are in a new week, and we are officially in a new sports season on Thursday. Absolutely, the National Football League gets underway, and I know everybody out there is like, Tukes, it's the Hall of Fame game. You are like one of the nine people out there in the country that's jacked up about the Hall of Fame game. You know, it's not so much that I'm fired up about the Hall of Fame game, because I'm really not, but just the fact that you have football on TV again from the National Football League makes me a happy camper. You know, it makes me a happy camper. Last week, okay, now we're in a full, new full week here. Last week was the final week that we have with no football until February the 9th. Think about that for a second. This last week that we just had, that wrapped up yesterday, wrapped up on Saturday technically, is the last full week that we'll have without football on TV until February the 9th. That makes me a happy camper. Makes me a happy camper. I'm looking forward to it. It's Lions and Chargers coming up this Thursday night, which is still kind of strange to me that the Hall of Fame game is on a Thursday, but nevertheless, I'm looking forward to that. And perhaps your mileage may vary. You are very much of a college football fan. I'm a college football fan too as well. You've got Northern State. They're 40 days away from kickoff down south there in Sioux Falls. And I saw this on social media, and it's kind of like, should Northern State play Jamestown over in Japan or something like this? Get this. Western Michigan University this year is playing the University of Michigan, right? In-state rivalry. I can't imagine it's that big of a rivalry. It's probably pretty lopsided, pretty one-sided, with the Wolverines being the beneficiary of most there. But Western Michigan versus University of, and it goes about an hour and a half between those two schools, Eastern Michigan to Western Michigan. So it's basically about a 90-minute drive, depending on, you know, how fast your foot's on the accelerator. But it's a 90-minute drive, basically, for that game. But you know what? They're going to play it in Germany instead. What? 4,148 miles away for Western Michigan and the University of. Why would you have a game, an in-state rivalry, that's only about an hour and a half away from each other? Now, why have that when you can travel halfway across the globe and play it in Germany? This would be like Northern State playing Jamestown and you're playing it in South Korea or Japan or India or Athens, Greece. I don't know, but just, I mean, it would be kind of cool, don't get me wrong, to play in a different area of the globe, don't get me wrong. But it's an hour and a half difference. I mean, like, what are we doing? That doesn't make any sense to me. Kind of crazy how it all works out that way. But that's a thing. That's a thing. Also from the weekend, as it pertains to some baseball action, this was pretty cool. I'm sure you saw this. Nick, don't call me Jeff Kurtz. Jeff Kurtz used to be my boss back in the day. Shout out to Jeff Kurtz. But anyways, Nick Kurtz, how about a 4-home run baseball game for him? The first rookie in MLB history with 4 homers in a single game. Never, emphasis on the word never, has it been done before where a player has finished a game with at least 6 hits, 6 runs scored, and 8 ribbies until Nick Kurtz did it here this last weekend. Pretty phenomenal stuff. And even when reached for comment, Billy Bean had to say,
"How can you not be romantic about baseball?"
Right? I mean, that's pretty phenomenal stuff. You just never know when you go to the ballpark. You might see something that you've never seen been done before. And Nick Kurtz, a 4-home run game there for him. First rookie in Major League Baseball history that got that taken care of over the weekend. As it pertains to the Minnesota Twins, not so good for them. They lost 2 out of 3 to the lowly Washington Nationals. And if you can believe it, the Twins are somehow, some way, still within striking distance of the wild card. They're 5.5 games back right now of the wild card, which is bananas to me. But is this really a serious team? Are the Minnesota Twins realistically a serious team right now as it pertains to October baseball? I mean, let's be frank. You're under 500. You're starting up the second half of the season against 2 of the 3 really bad teams that you've lost these series to. I understand losing the series to the Dodgers. I get that. The Dodgers are good. You know, they're supposed to be good. But you lost the series to the Colorado Rockies, which is the worst team in all of baseball. That's the first home series win that the Colorado Rockies have had all year. You don't want to be known for that team. So the Twins got that taken care of. And they lost 2 out of 3 to the Washington Nationals as well. This is not a serious playoff team. I said it last week. If I were the general manager, I would be in sell mode. Will they? Probably not. They might be listening. Who knows? We'll have to wait and see. But you lost 2 out of 3 to the nasty Nats. You lost 2 out of 3 to the Colorado Rockies, who, oh, by the way, got shut out by the Baltimore Orioles over the weekend, 18-0. 18-0. That's the largest shutout victory in franchise history for the Baltimore Orioles, so I'm sure Cobra's pretty jacked up about that, but you lost to that team. Now, I get it. It's baseball. You just never know what can happen on any given day, but, man, you lost 2 out of 3 to that team, and you're trying to make a push for the post? Not going to happen. Not going to happen anymore. That's for sure. All right. And finally, before we bring in Rusty Rocket here, I got to toss this out there because it is sports related. It's golf related. Happy Gilmore 2. Okay. Spoiler alert. Couple of spoiler alerts here. Just a little FYI for you here. Spoiler alert. I've given you 3 spoiler alerts. Now you know. They kill off Happy's wife, Virginia, 3 minutes into the movie. Movie wasn't that good. It was just not that good. Now, typically, you have sequels that are not very good anyway. So I went in with pretty low expectations. I did. I was like, it's probably going to be not that great. And they followed through on my very low expectations. Movie was not very good at all. And so basically, Happy's on tour, hits a dog leg, hits Virginia in the head, kills her off. First 3 minutes of the movie, I couldn't believe it. And they basically tried to cram as many possible celebrities and cameos into the movie as humanly possible, which is okay, I guess, as long as you got a good storyline. But the storyline wasn't even that good. I saw people on Twitter and saying this, oh, if you don't like this movie, you didn't see the first one or you don't like slapstick humor. And I was like, I actually loved the first one and I really enjoy slapstick humor. This movie just wasn't very good. First 15 to 20 minutes of it started off really strong. I was like, this movie is not going to suck. This movie is not going to suck, and it's actually going to be pretty decent. The plot line was dumb. The PGA golfers against the Maxi golfers. Like, what was that? I don't know. It didn't make any sense. But I will say, for what it's worth, Scottie Scheffler stole the show. He was awesome. His role in the flick was good stuff indeed. So I enjoyed his role, but I gave it a C-. I was disappointed, I guess, because I thought there was a chance, it's Adam Sandler, you're playing off of the hits. You know, they brought in some of those old jokes and what have you. Some of them hit, some of them didn't. But I got to tell you, I just thought it was very meh to me. M-E-H got me a C- on the Tewksbury grading scale. Coming up next on the show, and hey, if anyone knows C-, it's yours truly. Coming up next on the show, we're going to talk some Brown County Speedway. Rusty Rocket joins us live in studio after this.
Fuel up your ride and your appetite at 6th Avenue.
Sports Hub continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the old AM dial there and 98.5 on the FM dial. You can follow us on X there as well at Fox Sports 1420 AM, at @_Cobra66 and at Rusty Rockets. And I'm, of course, there at David Tewksbury there as well as Rocket joins us live in studio. Happy Monday, sir. How are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing there, Tewks?
Not too shabby. Looking forward to a nice weekend here on tap with some Brown County Speedway action on tap for sure, but also I'm kind of looking back in the rearview mirror. You told me off the air that you were in Watertown over the weekend, and Things got a little dicey weather-wise.
Yeah, so yesterday I was heading to do the announcing down at Casino Speedway as well, along with Dave Nurmi there, their main announcer, and I kind of co-announce, and then I handle interviews and such. And yesterday, a buddy of mine that's been racing street stocks here in Aberdeen, Dexter Whipp, is going to go down to run Watertown. All of a sudden, he sends me a message earlier in the day. He's like, yeah, I see that they're forecasted for a couple inches of rain. I'm probably going to stay home. I'm like, well, I don't really have a choice. I got to go unless they cancel. So I head down. I get there about 6. I'm at the sign-in shack and just signing in. All of a sudden, all our phones start doing the high-pitched squeal, you know, the EAS alert. And we're like, what the heck is that? It says tornado warning. We're like, oh, okay. It's not raining, nothing, you know, kind of cloudy. And I'd driven through quite a bit of rain on the way there, but nothing that bad. I get out, go out of the vehicle, drive around to the parking lot, and get out and I look, and I'm not joking. I feel like I made eye contact with this tornado. I'm like, the people with me, I'm like, just get back in the car. We're going to go ahead and head out. I'm not going to wait for a cancellation announcement. I'm just getting out of here. So we get out, and as we're doing that, people are scattering. They made an announcement. And yeah, it was a wild scene, but thankfully everybody worked together. The people got out of there safely, and I actually talked to one of the promoters this morning, and they said avoided any damage. It sounds like mostly just a lot of water. I mean, I've got a picture that the infield was basically full of water up to parts of the track.
Oh, wow.
And the grandstands were standing water everywhere, but thankfully the tornado itself didn't impact them, and everybody was safe and sound. A lot of drivers were already unloaded and ready to go because, I mean, the races start at 6:30, so at 6 o'clock, you know, they're getting things tightened up. So, but everybody got out of there, so that was good. Definitely got the old heart rate going. I was like, I'm just going to get out of here, and I don't know which way to go. I'm going to go away from it, and then I'm going to go north, and that's what I did, and got us back, and all was good in the end. But it was a wild one, and best thoughts down to those down in that area. I know there was another tornado over by Henry, which is, I think, just west of Watertown. It looked like it might have done some damage, but from what I've heard, I haven't heard any reports of injuries or anything of that nature, so that's the important thing.
Yeah, our eyes are focused on the weather for tonight. For us here in Aberdeen, too, looks like it's supposed to be not so great. So, man, this summer has been kind of severe with the rainfall and the heavy winds and this and that. I think we're north of 6 inches of rainfall in this month of July already, which is kind of crazy, but yeah, I'd be, I don't want to say this, I don't want any FCC violations for sure from what you were thinking yesterday, but I'd be throwing probably some expletives. And
oh, there were.
Oh my gosh. Were you scared? I mean, I'd be a little scared.
I think I felt like I stayed pretty calm in the moment. Just, it was literally looking across, my friend that went with me, she's reading the report. She's like, okay, it says confirmed tornado will be near Sandy Shores rec area and the city park and this at 6 o'clock. I'm like, it's 5:56. That's the city park right there. Yeah. City Shores is right over there, and I look across the lake, and that's when I saw it. So, I mean, it was the other side of the lake, but still, that's not very far away.
No.
At Lake Campesca there in Watertown. So I'm like, we're just going to hightail, and I just kind of started going east, and I'm like, got to the interstate and went north on the interstate, drove through some really heavy rain and a little bit of wind, but I looking at the radar, I knew that was going to happen, but I'm like, I'll take my chances on that versus heading back west in the direction of the tornado, because should it shift north or anything else, who knows, you know? So, you know, I felt like I held my composure pretty well. She even commented because I had a friend and her kids with, and they were like, everybody held together pretty well, which was nice in the moment.
Yeah, well, definitely did there for sure, and nice to have everybody safe and sound there, like you mentioned. Rusty Rocket joining us live in studio, Fox Sports Aberdeen. We're just a couple of weeks away from the season championships, if you can believe it. It's on August the 22nd. Of course, you got the AgTegra Big Buck Nationals there on August the 29th, but you also had racing this last weekend, kind of a twofer there, Friday and Saturday night, with the Dirt Late Models there, as well as the Tri-State Late Model Special there. Tell us a little bit about this last weekend.
Yeah, it was a good weekend of racing. We had, as you mentioned, both Friday and Saturday night scheduled, and both nights got in. Did get chased by rain a little bit on Friday, Saturday night, to where we had to kind of expedite the program along as we got into the features, but thankfully we ran every single lap that we were scheduled and got the full show in there. It was good field of cars on hand. I was hoping for a little more on the late model side of things. I think we ended up with like 35 somewhere in that window, and we were in the low 30s on street stocks. Midwest Mods on Friday night, I think we were in the low 20s. So overall, good car counts, but you just, late models, you'd like to see about in the mid 40s for that kind of money. I mean, you're running for $2,500 to win on Friday and another $5,000 on Saturday. So there was essentially $7,500 going on the line, you know, just to win. Obviously, pretty good pay throughout the field as well. But overall, it was good. The racing action itself was really solid. The heat races, the way they ran the format was different on Saturday. Usually you run a heat race, and then you determine your starting positions based off of that. Well, what they did for the late models is they actually ran two sets of heats. So when you came through the door, you drew a number to determine your starting spot of the first heat. Let's say you drew number one. You're going to start on the pole for your heat race. Well, the next heat race, you're guaranteed to start last.
Yeah.
So they inverted the field, basically, and put you in different fields. So you weren't facing the exact same cars, but you automatically started the exact opposite position where you did the first one. And then they used passing points. So you got points based on where you finished, plus a bonus like 1.25 points for every car you passed from your starting spot to your finishing spot, and then added it all up. It's kind of a complicated format, but it makes it a little more interesting and makes it more of a kind of consistent that you had to run two good races to get a good starting spot.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Mike Stearns did, man. He ran, I called it right away because he got started seventh in his first heat and finished second. I'm like, okay, now he's going to start third in his next heat. Pretty good chance he could end up winning that thing because he'd been bad fast all weekend and really all season. And sure enough, he goes third to first. I'm like, yeah, he's sitting pretty good. Well, he ends up drawing the pole for the feature with the most passing points and a redraw. So worked out well for him. He got out front, never looked back. There was some excitement. I mean, some really good racing, but yeah, overall, a fantastic weekend. I thought weather-wise, again, a little bit of rain at the end, but wasn't as bad as I feared in the heat because there was enough of a breeze to keep that at bay.
Yeah, well, that was my thing because I was chilling on my back patio there and I could hear it and I could see the clouds rolling. I was like, I hope they can get all this in. You mentioned something I'm curious about. You talk about pay. I was listening to our, not sister station, but our nephew station, I guess you could say, down south. They do a great job with calling all sports, of course. Mm-hmm. And they were talking about Huset Speedway, mm-hmm. I think maybe like a month ago, they had a six-figure payout.
Yeah.
How do you figure out pay? Like, so, who determines that?
There's certain specials that are just, I mean, it's a lot of it, it's track-based, it's sponsor-based, what you can get done, you know. There used to be years ago that the Dakota Rumble here was a $10,000 to win race, and you'd just run one race across the 2 days, and you'd do different formats to qualify, and it's gotten tough to keep that up, for one, but for two, it's also to get the car support and the crowd support you need to justify it. But now, like that one at Huset's, when they ran their Silver Dollar Nationals, I think that's the one that was $100,000 to win. When they run that, that's the Lucas Oil, either the Lucas Oil late models or the World of Outlaw Sprint Cars, which are national touring series. They bring in some of the money. They get a lot of more attention. And I mean, you're bringing drivers from all across, fans even from all across the region to come watch it. So those are the ones you get the higher pay dollars on. When you're running with soda shows, or in this case, the Tri-State late models, if you can get into that $5,000 range, you're usually sitting kind of high on the pay scale. I mean, there are a lot around the area, around the region that'll be higher, but like the Wasota 100 coming up in September at Fergus Falls, I think that one might be $10,000 to win for the late models on Saturday. But again, it's a full week of racing leading up to it, you know. And that's the same way those Silver Dollar Nationals. That wasn't just a one-day show. It was 2-3-4 nights worth of racing and kind of build up until you get qualified and then all the stuff that goes along with it. And but yeah, usually with those big series, that's where you'll see the big dollar amounts out there. So around here, when you can get in that $5,000 to $10,000 range, you're talking pretty big money.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was just kind of curious about that. Rusty Rocket joining us here live in studio, Fox Sports Aberdeen. And I think one of the highlights of Brown County Speedway every year is the kids' night. There is always a lot of fun that goes along with this one. I think we talked about it last year when you were joining us in studio. This is a great opportunity for kids to get up close and personal with the riders and really kind of meet and greet them, right?
It really is. You know, kids, obviously, the future of the sport depends on the future generations being into it, whether as fans or potential future drivers or whatever. So it's always good to get the kids excited about it. And so Kids Night is coming up this Friday. And what we do is about 6:30, so a half hour before the races are scheduled to start, all of the drivers in the pits will bring their cars around to the front stretch. So we'll have probably close to 90 to 100 cars. I mean, that's been our kind of average car counts. I think we've been 85 to 110 on most nights. They'll bring them all to the front straightaway and park up front. Starting all the way down basically what would be outside of turn one, all the way down to the outside of turn four along the horse track. They'll be lined up there and the kids can go out. All the drivers will be over there with their cars. They'll have the pictures that they hand out. A lot of them have candy or trinkets like toys and different things. And it's a really cool opportunity not only to meet the drivers, see the cars, get some stuff, just get kids excited about it. And then in addition to that, Shelby Armit with the promoters group does a phenomenal job of lining up sponsors to get a ton of kids giveaway prizes. We're talking bikes, hoverboards, games. We've got the radio station I know specifically donates some of our Mall of America passes and Valley Fair stuff. So, I mean, there's experiences, there's physical prizes, there's just a ton of stuff. They'll just draw kids' names out all night long. So even if you can't make it in time for the meet and greet session, get there before the races start around 7, get the kids registered. There'll be giveaways all night long, and I mean, it's just so cool and to see all the kids get so excited about it. And in addition to that, I think kids 12 and under get in free, if I remember right, so it's not like it's going to put a strain on hopefully most families, so the ones that are trying to target this. And then on top of that, we're doing the Race Against Hunger as well, so fans can bring a non-perishable food item or cash donation to give to the Salvation Army to help with their food pantry and the snack pack program. And they'll get a certificate for a free bag of popcorn at the races, so a little snack too. So,
sure.
So that's Friday, and then we'll have the folks from the Salvation Army there. They'll do a little speech kind of talking about the importance of supporting those and the impact of hunger in the community. So encourage people to support that as well as get there early and just get the kids registered for all the giveaways and things.
Yeah, I mean, if there's one that you really are saying, oh, you know, I'd like to bring the kids too. I just don't know if it's this is the one to go to for sure in terms of that. Very, very family friendly atmosphere there. Again, this upcoming Friday, not to try to jinx anything, but weather for this upcoming Friday looks pretty nice, I think.
Yeah.
Looking like mid 70s and maybe a slight chance for some precip, I think early is what I saw, but should be a really, really nice night for that. Season championships, not that far off. I know one of your favorites, the Big Buck Nationals, will mm-hmm. be here before you know it. We got our next guest joining us here in a second, but I'll give you the last word. Anything that you'd like to hit on before I let you go?
No, you know, I was just looking to confirm, and yeah, ticket prices for the weekend, it is $12. Kids 12 and under are free. 13 to 15, just $10. It's $18 for adults, and then senior admission is $15. Tickets in advance at the Ken Super Fair Foods, I believe, has them. I know the Aberdeen Pit Stop locations have them, or just get them at the gate. It's the same price either way. Either way, like I said, the big thing is get there early because Kids Night Fun starts about 6:30. Racing starts at 7, maybe a little bit later just because of all the festivities going on at the Kids Night stuff. And we have a Super Stock makeup feature too. So bonus feature there. And then, like you mentioned, season championships just around the corner. This will be your last chance to get some racing in here for a couple weeks, because we do take the week before the fair off and the week of the fair, obviously. So this Friday, and then we're off until championship night, the 23rd. So make sure to get out there and support it and bring the kids.
All right, mark those calendars. Rusty, thanks for popping in, and appreciate you.
You bet. Thanks for having us on again, too. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. It's our pleasure for sure. Rusty Rocket here live in studio, Fox Sports Aberdeen. We're going to take a trip out west. Ashlyn Carlo Blunt, she'll join us live on the phone line after this. Sports Hub continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. Live streaming with the video as well on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Fox Sports Aberdeen. Pleased to be joined on the phone line as we travel out west as Ashlyn Carlo Blunt. She joins us live on the phone line. Ashlyn, thanks for taking some time this morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Oh, just living the dream. Happy to be here on a Monday morning for sure. Got the coffee in the system. We're getting closer and closer to high school sports season, which makes me excited and looking forward to this conversation here. And first and foremost, thanks for being a part of the program here today. And, of course, just verbaling to USD here not that long ago, about 2.5 weeks or so ago, give or take. And was it a fun process? Was it stressful? Obviously, D1 is a pretty cool thing. Kind of walk us through the commitment process and what that kind of looked like for you.
Yeah, so the process was a little bit of everything, but I feel like the most thing, I was just grateful for all the opportunities that basketball has brought me, especially getting to continue my athletic and academic career wherever I chose. And then USD just ended up being the place for me because it ultimately came down. I wanted to play for my home state, and it was closer to home so that more family and friends could come watch and support me.
Yeah, no doubt. That definitely makes sense. And I'm curious about basketball. You know, why basketball for you? Obviously, it looks like it comes natural to you just watching you play. Was it always basketball? Was there ever any other sports that you were kind of thinking about maybe taking to the next level? But I guess just why basketball for you?
I've been doing a lot of sports, like, throughout my lifetime so far. So I feel like I was thinking maybe cross country and track for a little bit, or basketball. Basketball has always been an option, but I was thinking about running too. But as I got older and just having a coach like Matthew Rama has just, like, he's made my love for the sport grow so much, and I just can't imagine doing anything other than basketball. Like, I just love this sport so much, and it's a big thanks to him and my family for just supporting me in it. And it's just, I just love it so much that I, like I said, can't imagine doing anything other than basketball.
Mm-hmm. Ashlyn Carlo Blunt joining us on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 and 98.5. Now, you mentioned cross country and track and field, and if memory serves correctly, you did some really, really cool things at the state championships this last year. I mean, obviously, that's going to help you in basketball as well, I would imagine. Do you take a lot of pride in the fact that you continue to climb the ranks in that as well? Because I want to say, was it one of the hurdle meets, I think? You finished in the top five here this last year, right?
Yeah, I got third in the 300-meter hurdles.
Gotcha. So what's training for that sort of like?
It's Obviously, a little hard. Our high school doesn't really have a track. We have a gravel track, so we don't have like the correct markings. I have hurdles, so it's just a lot of like searching up online the distance and marking it with like our feet. So my measurements are kind of off when trying to do hurdle work, so that's always a challenge. But my coach has really helped me in that. And then, yeah, I just found hurdles to be something really exciting to do. And I feel like that's just, it's a fun little break. And then during track season, I have to miss a little bit for AAU basketball. So it's a little bit difficult having to miss some practices, especially on the weekends when I have to go to a basketball practice. But that's just like the sacrifice I'm willing to make for basketball.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And speaking of AAU basketball, we were trying to line something up, I think it was last week, and you said, you know, I'm going to be a little busy down south in Arizona. Tell us a little bit about AAU basketball, the team you play for, and what the atmosphere is like in that, and how that's kind of helped your game.
I would first say there's definitely nothing like AAU basketball. It's such a tough commitment, but it's obviously really rewarding getting to play in front of coaches. But you know, you go for a weekend and you have so many games in such short amount of time that you just have to be ready to keep going. This summer I played for Stanford out of Sioux Falls, and that's obviously a drive for me from Pine Ridge. It's about a 5-hour drive that I made on the weekends, so that was also a little tough just traveling for it. But like I said, I'm willing to do a lot for basketball because I love it so much. But it was really fun. This was my first year playing with Stanford, so I went to a lot different tournaments and a lot of bigger competition that like really was such a great experience because I got to play against girls who are better than me and just getting to see how I rank in that department. And it really opened my eyes to see like stuff I need to work on, which is great to me because I feel like I'm always trying to work on my game and trying to get better. So just to be able to play in like a big competition or against big competition, it was super fun. And it was such a great experience as my last summer of AAU basketball.
Well, the good news is it's all highway, right? You just jump onto 90 and next thing you know, you're there. But by and large, are there a lot of practices with AAU basketball, or is it just kind of, hey, let's roll out the ball, figure out what we got out there and play and compete? I mean, how many games do you play in a summer? It's, like you said, it's a pretty strenuous schedule.
My team had practice every weekend, and if not every other weekend. So we had some weekends off, but we had practice every weekend. And then if not, we were at a tournament.
Gotcha. Wow, busy. So was Arizona the furthest that you guys traveled this year or somewhere else?
So Arizona was actually NABI. It's a Native American tournament, and okay, that wasn't with my AAU team. That was with a different one. But I think for AAU, the furthest was Dallas, Texas, or Cincinnati, Ohio.
Holy moly. Yeah, a lot of travel for sure. So I'm guessing you're probably flying to most, if not all of these. Tell us a little bit about the native one down south there in Arizona. What did that kind of look like? And were there a lot of also future Division I players there too? Or what was that kind of like?
There was a couple. It's still like a really big, huge tournament and everything. I would say not as much competition as like my AAU tournaments, but it's still fun and a good experience to get to play against a bunch of other natives. My team made it to the Elite Eight in the tournament, which we could have gone farther and done better, but it just happened to be one of those games where it came down to it. It starts with pool play, and after pool play, it's single elimination already.
Gotcha. Okay, dumb question. How long are these games? Are they like the standard 32 minutes for high school basketball? Are they a little bit shorter, a little bit longer?
For the Arizona tournament, we had 2 20-minute halves. And okay, then for AAU, it just depended on if we did halves or quarters.
Gotcha. Okay, so this has got to make you even stronger by the time high school season rolls around too, right? Because you're probably going to have a lot more gas in the tank. Obviously, you're well-conditioned being a track and field athlete anyway. So does it feel like this opportunity to play and compete in the summertime only makes you stronger come winter?
Yeah, I definitely think so, especially like when you think of other players, some don't play AU in the summer, so mm-hmm. they have like this huge break of not doing basketball, whereas I'm competing basketball all summer and still training throughout the off season. So I definitely think it's only making me better.
No doubt about it. Ashlyn Carlo Blunt joining us here live on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 and 98.5. Future USD commit, so this is going to be your senior season this year in high school for Mapialuta. What's this year going to be like for you? Is it just kind of embrace everything, just have fun? Or is it, hey, you know, we were really, really close to a state championship last year. You know, we're out to claim that crown. What's that kind of like for you?
A little bit of both, obviously, with basketball season, and we came so close to that state championship title. We're all very hungry to get back to that state championship game again, and this time, you know, we want to win. We don't want to get up, lose to a buzzer beater in the final seconds. We're going to do whatever it takes to get back there and to take home the championship, especially with my class. We're going to have 8 seniors, so it's a lot of us leaving. But just for me personally, like in a high school basketball career, all you want is to win a state championship. And I've been grateful enough and thankful enough to have made it to the state tournament since my 8th grade year on varsity. And, you know, it's different when you're just competing for 3rd or 5th place. But when you're competing for the championship, it's a whole different game. And I would just really love to get back there and win it. And I just know myself and my teammates are going to work all season for it.
And I would guess, given the fact that you've got 8 seniors, I'm not going out on a limb here, I don't think, but probably pretty good friends with just about all of them. Is it, how much fun is it competing with your friends on every given basis? You know, these are probably some of the same girls that you've grown up with when you were just little kids. Now it's, you know, senior year for you guys. I'm sure you're probably pretty close on and off the floor. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, that's definitely true. A lot of these girls I've grown up with, I've known since elementary school, and I've played with them since elementary school. So it's definitely going to be a really bittersweet year, obviously, because we're going to do everything we can to win. But then at the same time, you think like this is our last season of high school, but then it's our last season getting to play with each other. So, you know, we just have to go out and make the most of it.
Now that you've committed to a USD, does it feel like there's less pressure on you this season? Or you can just kind of play a little bit more free this year?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like once I've committed, I kind of have like this little sense of relief, and now I can just focus on winning the state championship for my high school season.
How loud was that gym in that state championship game last year? I mean, Matt and I were talking on the show afterwards. The atmosphere of that game was next level amazing. I mean, we were literally talking like we should have been there, just being there as fans. I mean, obviously you don't get the result you're looking for, but what was it like playing in front of, you know, family and friends? And that atmosphere was just incredible out there.
No, like I said, there was nothing like it. In any of the games I've played, we haven't had a crowd like that that's packed the stands so much. Everybody was standing and screaming. I remember on that last free throw, I legit wanted to put my hands over my ears because it was so loud because of how much people were screaming. It was kind of hurting my ears a little bit because of how loud it was, but that's all you can ask for, and it was such a great experience. Obviously getting to do that and experience that with my teammates. And no, it was so surreal, especially with it being only 2.5 hours max from home. That meant we had so much more fans, because usually when it's states in Brookings or in Watertown, you know, we can't have as much fans because of how far of the travel it is. So for a state to be as close as it was to home, it was really special to see all of our families and classmates who don't participate in sports and friends. And like, we had such a huge student section just yeah. with our school alone. That was so cool. And they all dressed up and did the themes for the cheerleaders. Like, we don't even have a student section like that home game. So for them to all show up at the state tournament when it really mattered the most was just amazing. Yeah, it made me really happy to see everybody show up and be there for us.
Yeah, it really felt like a home game for you guys, and just oh so close, and looking forward to seeing you guys back there at some point in time here in the not-too-distant future. I know a lot of things need to shake out for that to be the case, but I think you guys are going to be right there as a part of that final eight-team field in come wintertime, or I guess technically early spring next year. Ashlyn, really appreciate you taking some time out of your busy schedule and joining us here. Enjoy the rest of your AAU summer, and we'll see you on the hardwood coming up in the fall.
Yes, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. It's our pleasure for sure. Ashlyn Carlo-Blunt here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. USD commit, congratulations to her. And I tell you what, that's going to be a really, really salty team. Eight seniors. This is kind of like, hey, the last dance sort of thing there for that squad. So, you know, anytime we can talk basketball in mid to late July, I'm all for it. And looking forward to seeing how that team shakes out there in Class A. So, so close last year against Sioux Falls Christian. And you could feel the energy in my living room watching that game on TV this last year. So incredible stuff. And we'll see how it all plays out come late winter and early spring, of course, of next year. Coming up next on the program, we're talking some Legion baseball from the weekend that was, some amateur as well, and the Minnesota Twins. They lose 2 out of 3 at home against the Washington Nationals. We discuss next. Sports Up continues on this Monday installment of the show. Our thanks to Rusty Rockets and Ashlyn Carlo-Blunt for taking some time out of their schedules and joining us right here on FSA. We're back at it tomorrow. Brent Nathaniel, one of the voices of Watertown Arrow TV, he'll be joining us towards the bottom of the hour. That'll be right around 10:30 tomorrow as the Legion State A tournament gets underway. Check out our website, hubcityradio.com, for full details of the game schedule there in Watertown. Legion baseball, you saw Groton post 39, down Sisseton post 50, 6-2 there on Friday as the post 39 squad, they advanced to their third state tournament in the last 5 years. Congratulations to them. 6-2 your final score. Gavin England going the complete game while fanning 8 in the victory. Clark Willow Lake, they trailed 10-1 at one point in time. They come all the way back. They down Lake Norden 12-11 in the region 6B bracket. Congratulations to them. Never say die. You're down 10-1. Game's over, right? Wrong. You have that never say die attitude. You somehow find a way to just piece it together. One play at a time, one bat at a time, one pitch at a time, all that good stuff. It's all cliche, but it works out well for that Clark Willow Lake squad as they win that ball game 12-11 there on Friday. Amateur baseball saw the Aberdeen Smitties. They would split with the Mitchell Aces there on Saturday, losing 9-8 on 9-8 on Saturday for game one. Then coming back and winning game two, 10-5, your final score. Casey Vining going 5 innings of solid work. He struck out 10 in the victory there as well, while Josh Steinwant went 3-for-3 with 3 runs batted in. Check out the District 1B Amateur Baseball Tournament on our website, hubcityradio.com. That officially got underway there this last weekend as well, while the District 2B Tournament saw Redfield Dairy Queen down Falkton 14-1 in the 1-versus-4 pairing, while Groton Lock Electric apparently missed the extra point. They defeated Northville Merchants 13-7, your final tally there. Yesterday, the District 2B tournament continues on Tuesday. As for the Twins, they got off to a good start against the Nationals on Friday, downing them 1-0 before losing games 2 and 3 on Saturday and Sunday, respectively. It's crazy, but the Twins are only 10 games back of first place in the AL Central. They're actually gaining some ground because the rest of the division is not so great right now. But 10 games back of first place Detroit, and 5.5 games back of that final wild card tally. They're back in action tonight against the Boston Red Sox. 6:40 for your first pitch on Fox Sports Aberdeen.